Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
For year-round comfort you can count on, call Max Heating and Air. Serving the Pine Belt and surrounding areas, they handle heating, cooling, spray foam insulation, duct cleaning, and more. Quality service, trusted experts. Call Max Heating and Air at 601-649-4087.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. We're glad you're with us this afternoon. Got a good show for you. We'll be talking to the play-by-play voice of Georgia State University men's basketball team. We'll be in Atlanta, or as Kelly would say, go ahead.
The ATL, baby.
Tomorrow night to take on Georgia State. And so we'll look forward to that conversation. Opening segment of the show is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, and we always appreciate all they do to make our show possible and encourage you to, next time you want a great meal, go to Dickey's, or you want to cater an event, they are great at that. As we broadcast our show today, of course, every day from the Southern Bank Corps studio, and we're equally grateful to Southern Bank Corps for their sponsorship of our program. All right, got a good show for you today. We want to go up to North Mississippi to kick off today. Aubrey Gillentine is a former Golden Eagle baseball star and newly appointed head baseball coach at Mississippi Delta Community College. He went up there with Danny Lynch, who subsequently went to Abilene Christian. Aubrey got the job, so good for you, and we're glad to have you on the show, Coach. Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all for having me.
Run real quickly through that scenario. You and Danny Lynch go to Moorhead together. Moorhead, obviously, where the college is at. You guys go up there together. Danny moves on to another opportunity, and then you get the head coaching job. So how did all that transpire?
Yeah, it was this past summer. Danny kind of gave me a call and told me he was looking into this job, and when he got it, it was a no-brainer to go with him. Me and him are good friends ever since we knew each other at Southern Miss, and then over Christmas break, he got a great opportunity to go be an assistant at Abilene Christian, and I'm thankful enough that they promoted me to head coach after that.
All right, so now you got this job in front of you, and as you eval your team and you look at junior college baseball around the state, what are your thoughts, Coach?
I feel really good about it. We're going to be a young team this year. You know, junior college baseball in Mississippi is about as good as it gets, so looking forward to playing that elite competition week in and week out, but I feel really good about our team moving forward.
You know, when you look at some of the JUCOs across the country, Coach, Florida, you know, the College of Central Florida, Florida Southwestern, West Florida, all of those teams down there in the Pensacola, Orlando area really get a lot of publicity. But I'm with you. I think the Mississippi, the MACCC, is really a well-kept secret across the country. Of course, Pearl River's been strong for, you know, the last 4 or 5 years. But top to bottom, my goodness, the talent that comes through here, and a lot of them are from Mississippi, but a lot of them aren't. It's just when a league is good, it attracts talent. So take us through your punch list, because you were kind of behind the eight ball immediately because of the timing of all this. So how did you go and get the guys that are going to be wearing Trojan rosters this year?
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge selling point, just saying, you know, the type of league that we play in. I think that was something that a lot of people, especially out-of-state guys, they desired to come play in a league that was at this level. And also getting some guys that have transferred in from some other junior colleges in the state, you know, just because they might not have been good enough to crack the lineup at a Pearl River or a Meridian or somewhere like that, they can really help us out. So, you know, the talent in this league and in this state is as good as it gets.
So how do you approach, this is your first job as a coach, and you're the main guy. So take us through your learning process, things that you're going to have to learn as a coach.
Absolutely. You know, that's kind of one of those things. I've been open and honest with our team. Like, you know, we're trying to coach you, and at the same time, I'm trying to learn, you know, how this process works. So kind of getting them to understand that and bear with me. You know, I'm going to make mistakes just like they are. I think the guys have really embraced that challenge and kind of understood the circumstances that we're in. But I think we're having a good time and getting a lot better together.
Because, Coach, you're not, but what, 26 years old maybe?
Yes, sir, 26.
26 years old, so that's pretty young to be, with all due respect, you know, to be the main man at a junior college in one of the strongest leagues in the country. Statistically, Aubrey, pitchers don't generally do very well as coaches. I'm not trying to, you know, you're going to do great, but I'm just saying generally pitchers don't. Catchers do. I wonder why that is. Any thoughts?
I think you can take that thought to Christian Ostrander and see what he thinks about it. I think he's done pretty well as a pitching coach.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally understand what you say. You know, behind the plate, you kind of can see the whole field. You understand how the pitching staff works together, and you're on the offensive side. So I totally understand, you know, more on the position player side, how they have a better grasp for the entire game. But I think me being a pitching coach kind of gives me the opportunity to step back and kind of observe as more of a manager role and kind of let my assistants handle the job on the offensive side.
I think that arms for young players are really getting used way too much. And if when the travel ball question comes up to you, Coach Gallantine, what's your response to parents who have their kids playing baseball now almost 24/7, 365?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at a youth player and their development, you know, it just truly doesn't make sense to be playing in competitive games 24/7 all year long. I think there's a good reason to believe, you know, in the spring and summer, let's go play our games and compete. But then in that fall, winter time, like, let's step back a little bit, be a kid, play other sports, you know, get in the weight room if you're ready for that. But just give the arm the time it needs to develop and grow.
I think every time the goal is to win the league. But when you have set your team goals for this upcoming season, which will probably begin, what, next week maybe, or very shortly after that?
Next Saturday, yes, sir.
When will it have been a success in your mind?
Yeah, I think just any form of growth. You know, the team had a pretty rough season last year, not a great situation with the previous coach. And I think just being positive and looking at everything that we can, maybe it's not a win on the scoreboard, but finding – little ways to win along the way. You talk about our team goals. You know, if you can get into the top 10 in the state, that gives you a chance to make it to the region tournament. And, you know, anything can happen when you get in that tournament format. So that's kind of been our goal, is like finishing the top 10, and anything can happen.
All right, Coach, you played here 2019 through 2022. That's a pretty good run in that period of time right there. What did you learn here as a Golden Eagle? And what are you going to take from the program here and try to instill in those young men you're now going to be coaching?
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, it's the team culture aspect of it. You know, Southern Miss is going to get extremely talented players just like I plan to do here, but none of that really matters if the team culture and chemistry isn't what we want it to be. You know, I think throughout my years at Southern Miss from 2019 to 2022, the team culture was at an all-time high. You know, a lot of those guys were in my wedding. I was in their wedding. We're all best friends, still stay in contact with most of those guys. So trying to translate that culture and that tradition over to here has kind of been my goal.
And the tradition, I'm curious to know about this. Where are most of your kids coming from that are on your roster presently?
The majority of the kids on the roster right now are kind of from the Delta region. You know, you got some Cleveland kids, Yazoo City, places like that. For our incoming recruiting class, we really expanded. We've got a lot of Louisiana kids, Northeast Mississippi kids, and a couple guys from the Jackson area. So heading into next year, we'll be really spread out, but this season we're pretty local.
Safe to say that all of these kids who play baseball were very much aware of Southern Miss baseball and the type of program that you learned in, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Coach Gallantine, I want to ask you, you're from Amory, Mississippi. You had a brush with greatness where Joe Burrow, the great future Hall of Famer, leader, mm-hmm. GOAT of the Cincinnati Bengals, the best team in the National Football League, unofficially, of course. You actually ran into Joe Burrow, not with a car, but you did run into him at some point. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thankfully it wasn't with a car. That would've been a pretty expensive mistake on my end. But yeah, it was funny. I got a message from my high school baseball coach one winter break when I was still playing, and he was like, "Hey, do you need to throw today?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "All right, head up to the field. There's a guy that needs to throw with you." And I show up, and it's Joe Burrow, his dad, and Joe Burrow's cousin. And I had the long toss play catch with Joe Burrow's cousin, so it was cool to talk to him a little bit and pick his brain.
He didn't get hurt, did he?
He did not.
And Joe Burrow's grandparents continue to live in the Amory area.
Kelly, so. You didn't like that little joke.
Yes, they do.
You please protect Joe Burrow at all costs.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hopefully I can do better than his O-line's been doing the past few years.
That's a low bar now, Coach.
We don't
want you setting bars that low for the baseball team up there.
I'll make sure not to.
Is this something you always wanted to do, Aubrey?
Absolutely. Yeah, I knew from a pretty young age, just growing up playing the game, that I wanted to coach. you know, I never could have dreamed that I'd be a head coach at this age. You know, I figured it'd be further on in my career, but I'm super thankful for this opportunity and ready to get after it.
Well, we couldn't be happier for you, and we will, of course, be watching now with great interest Mississippi Delta Trojan baseball, because you're carrying that Southern Miss tradition up there into the Delta, and that's a good thing, Coach. You need to educate them all on Southern Miss baseball.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's a lot of Golden Eagle fans that are now Trojan fans, so that's
100%.
I've loved every second of that. It's been awesome.
100%. Well, best of luck to you. Thank you very much for spending some time with us today on the Eagle Hour.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right. Aubrey Gillentine, everybody. The new head baseball coach at 26 years old, Kelly. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, he's probably thanking Danny Lynch right now, going, dude, we were supposed to do this together.
Yeah, correct. Right.
You know, and for the record, and I did check this out with our crack research staff, on the way to Abilene, Texas, for Danny Lynch, he had to go through Lafayette.
I understand they had a little parade and stuff for him.
Oh yeah, there was.
He's a beloved figure.
Yeah, they were throwing things, but they weren't beads.
Let's gave him a lot of the number one finger salutes too when he went.
Yeah, it's a different number one, but yeah, I follow you.
All right, still to come, Dave Cohen is the play-by-play voice of Georgia State basketball. Going to talk to him, and we're going to get the Bull on the show. Matthew Russo still to come as well. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
We've got Dave Cohen on the show, and glad to have him with us. He is the voice of Georgia State basketball. We're glad to have you here. How are you, my man?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing over there?
Well, we're doing good, other than all the little gremlins in our control board, but our operations man is here straightening it out. All right, let's talk basketball. Georgia State, Southern Miss tomorrow night in Atlanta. Georgia State 7-12, 4-3, I believe you said, in the league. What has been the positives, and what has been the negatives for Georgia State?
Well, we started out the season at 1-9, so I think that would qualify as the negatives. Played a challenging non-conference schedule. Games at Arizona State and Cincinnati, typical non-conference games against P4s that you see early on in the first third of the season. I know that there was some situations with our roster. It's really only been in the last couple of 3 weeks that our roster has really settled down. We had a couple of players, Clash Peters, Isaiah Sherrard, that are no longer with the team. And then injuries, of course, as everybody deals with during the course of the season, have roared their head at inopportune times. But, again, in the last 2.5 to 3 weeks, seemingly the roster has settled. The rotation has become what we'll say more regular with regards to what Coach Jonas Hayes has been looking for. And, a couple of our freshmen have really stepped up, including Micah Tucker, who's out of the Overtime Elite program right here in Atlanta. He's our second leading scorer at 13 points and a couple of rebounds a game, and he's now started 16 of our 19 games. And then kind of the core of our offense, led by Malachi Brown, transfer from Seton Hall, Jelani Hamilton, a transfer from Iowa State, both kids that are from the Atlanta area, and Micah Tucker. That tandem right there offensively has really kind of been the straw that stirs the drink. They're all capable of having breakout games, having great nights shooting the ball. Malachi struggled in the early part of the season, but has kind of caught fire here in the last 3 weeks since we've started Sunbelt Conference play. And then at various times, this player, that player will step up. Ja'Kai Newton, the transfer from Indiana, will step in periodically and have a breakout game. And then they brought in a 7-1 center from Woodland, Alabama during the offseason. He had a couple of really good games recently in league play, 11 points, 8 rebounds and a block against Marshall, and then prior to that, 7 points, 9 rebounds against Appalachian State. So, excuse me, aside from the three that I mentioned in Brown, Hamilton, and Tucker, it seems like game in and game out, one or two other guys will step up as well.
You know, Dave, when it's always about seeding in the Sun Belt tournament in Pensacola, because obviously the league is a one-bid league into the NCAA tournament, so you have to pick some off on the road in order to really advance. But holding serve at home, I have contended that the toughest team right now, even besides Southern Miss, Georgia State is a completely different team in Atlanta. They are so good at home. I wonder why.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because we've actually been pretty good on the road. In this stretch of 9 games that we've won 6, they went up the mountain and they got off the mountain with a win at Appalachian State, which everybody knows is not easy. So got a win at App State, got a win at Coastal Carolina. And then last Saturday got a win in Louisiana at Louisiana Monroe. And I know Monroe is struggling, but they led us by a point at halftime. And, you know, we came out as a completely different team in the second half. You know, most recently we dropped a 52-50 home game to Appalachian State in the second meeting between the two teams. But you're exactly right. You're exactly right. This is an opportunity with Southern Miss here Thursday night, tomorrow night, and Arkansas State coming in here on Saturday night. You're right. You got to hold serve at home. You got to win your home games and hope to split on the road. But again, Georgia State's been playing pretty well on the road. I know there's a couple of home games, that Appalachian State game being one of them, and then go back to the first third of the season. We lost a one-point game here to Presbyterian College, which they never should have lost. I'd love to have those two games back. And both were home games, so with this team, you never know what you're going to get.
And Southern Miss will go from Georgia State on up to Coastal Carolina to complete this two-game road swing. So this is the fact that the Panthers, Bob, have picked off 3 on the road already. That's going to bode well for them in the seeding postseason.
Yeah, Dave, we were kind of joking with you about your record and saying, well, Southern Miss is coming here. That's good news for you. But you made such a great point in us joking around that – you don't ever really know who's going to win in the Sun Belt, do you? I mean, any team, isn't it fair to say that any team can go to any gym and win on any night?
Well, there's no question about that. It's like, you know, our road trip to open up conference play, we went down to lovely Statesboro and got our doors blown off. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, now we got to, you know, bus up the mountain to Boone, and that could be ugly. And then we get up there and we played great. And got off the mountain, like I said, with a win. You never know quite what you're going to get, you know, night in and night out in Sun Belt play. There's not really, as we have seen in past seasons, and I think obviously the portal has played a role in this, but there doesn't seem to be one or two dominant Sun Belt teams that are, you look at and you look at their schedule and their record, you know, their talent, and just say those guys are heads and tails above everybody else in the Sun Belt. When I say parity, you know, I put that in quotation marks. Towards the bottom of the league, sure, Louisiana Monroe, again, struggling. You know, we have struggled, you know, the first half of the season, really, so to this point. But there just doesn't seem to be, there seems to be a lot more parity in the league this year than we've had even as recently as a year ago. It looked like early on Georgia Southern, looked like early on Troy. Back earlier than that, Arkansas State got off to a strong start.
Right.
You know, some of the teams that historically have been strong, and, you know, under Ron Hunter and Rob Lanier, Georgia State was one of those teams during that stretch run of those 11 years. You go back to the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns, you know, they're not the same program. So things have kind of, I don't want to say turned around, but they've evened out a little bit. And some programs that were high are now low. Mm-hmm. Some that were low are trying to get high. And then there are some that are what they are. And Georgia State's just trying to catch a little bit of fire here. Getting down early, and like I said, starting 1-9, it's such a deep hole to dig out of. And like I said, we're still five games under 500, so we've got a little ways to go, and we've got to make sure we take care of business at home.
Is Georgia State like, I think, every other college program in the country now, that you just have wholesale turnover of roster from year to year?
Yes, and that's the one thing. You know, Jonas Hayes has taken some heat, you know, locally. But if you go back to the year he was hired, the year prior, Rob Lanier's last year, we're in the NCAA tournament playing Gonzaga with a fantastic roster out in Portland, Oregon. And when we get back from the tournament, you know, Rob Lanier takes the SMU job. They bring in Coach Hayes. And the roster completely turned over. Yeah. He had to scramble, you know, in the portal to get some kids in here to build a roster. Each of the last 3 years, this being his fourth year, our roster has turned over by anywhere between 6 and 9 players. It's just hard to build any, you know, hard to build any sort of consistency.
Right.
Obviously, when your roster is turning over every year.
All right, Dave, we appreciate it very much, man. We look forward to a good game tomorrow night. We thank you very much, sir, for your time.
Always a pleasure. You guys have a good day.
All right, Dave Corn, everybody. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, I want to thank Dave Cohen, play-by-play voice, Georgia State University and Aubrey Gillentine, the new baseball coach at Mississippi Delta Community College. Appreciate both of those guys on the show. Hey, this segment sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. Great place for baseball and softball training. Be sure you tell Luke Reynolds, the guys on Eagle Hour, said hello, and that we appreciate all they do to support our program. And we're good friends at the Eagle Tire West. Former player Matt Warren invites you to see him and his staff for premium Goodyear products, full-service auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. All right, we're going to hear from, I think this is fair to say, this is Kelly's favorite player on the Southern Miss baseball team. You really are a fan of Matthew Russo, aren't you?
I like Matthew Russo because he's always kind of been the underdog, right? When you look at him physically, he's not going to be on the cover of GQ or anything for his his cut six-pack and his, you know, muscles everywhere. He's a big dude that is a great baseball player and has never let any of the naysayers get into his head. And it's a great story.
And an awesome, awesome kid. Here's Matthew Russo.
All right, everyone. Matthew Russo on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. All right, Matthew, we're 3 weeks away. Coach said something about you earlier I want to bring to your attention. He said already you're beginning to make comments about this being your last year. This is already on your mind. That you even said you brought to his attention it was your last fall scrimmage at one point. How emotional, how important, and how special is this year going to be for you?
Yeah, I'd say this year means everything to me. Most definitely could be my last year playing baseball, and especially being here at Southern Miss. I mean, the school means so much to me. So I'm just taking it in every single day, and I'm going to give the school everything I have for this last one.
I don't think you can repeat this story enough. Take me back to when you first came here. I'm told that you really didn't have a role on the field. You volunteered to be the bullpen catcher. Is that true? And if so, where did you develop that sort of mindset that you just want to be a team player?
Yeah, so it was, my freshman year I got here, and I wasn't ready to be on the field. I was getting redshirted, and there was a situation that happened with our bullpen catcher that time, and the coaches came up to me and they asked me if I would want to be the bullpen catcher, because I was thrilled because I get to go on the road with all these guys, all these older guys, because I knew as a redshirt you weren't traveling. I was just going to stay here and do whatever and watch the games from my phone. But, I got the opportunity from Coach Oz and Coach Creel, and, it was an easy decision for me, and I don't regret it at all. I think overall it made me appreciate the university more and probably become a better baseball player too.
And that was quite a staff you were.
Oh yeah, that was the 22. That was the 22 staff, and that's probably the best staff that's ever been at Southern Miss. Right. So yeah, no, it was fun. It was a fun opportunity. I got to meet a bunch of guys and that were only here for my freshman year, and I'm still talking to them to this day. So it was really cool.
All right, we fast forward to this year. You're going to be clearly one of the faces of the team, one of the leaders of the team. Now you're the old guy, right? Helping the young guys. How do you go about that?
Yeah, just as what I absorb from the older guys, I want to lead by example and by my words and my actions. So just picking at the younger guys' brains, learning about them, and then explaining to them some things that they can do, or just leading by example and going at it every single day, doing the right thing, and hopefully they can absorb that from me like I did from guys like Danny Lynch and Dustin Dickerson. Just leading by example, that's one of the things I want to do, and just give it my all. Like, show these guys how much this university means to us, all these fans, how much they mean to me personally, and hopefully they can appreciate them as much as I do.
Describe for our listeners what this journey does mean to you.
I mean, it means everything. I've grown so much being here. Coach Oz has helped me out so much with that. Coach Barry as well, and all the assistant coaches. I've just become, I would say, a better human being, a better man. I'm more prepared for what's ahead of me. And, it's so much deeper than just the game of baseball. You build these relationships with these guys that will last a lifetime. Everything in the locker room, everything on the field and the dugout, it's unbelievable. It's really inexplainable. But whenever you go out there, and it's a Friday night and you're wearing the pinstripes and you're about to play, it's special. And you know how much it means to these fans and all the players that are supporting you, like in the dugout, all the coaches that have worked their tails off, invested so much time into you and your craft and everything. So you just want to do it for everybody, and it's just such a special feeling.
And you do understand what a beloved figure you've become to the fan base.
Yeah, I know they appreciate my energy. And that's something I try to value every single day. Coach Oz loves energy, and I came into this place with a lot of energy. I took in what Danny was doing. Danny would talk between every single pitch and between every single at bat for when we were on offense. And I recognized that. I appreciated that because I know it got all the guys locked in, and it fired them up whenever he would get excited. So whenever I'm out there, I'm always trying to bring energy, trying to have fun. Because, like I said, this could be my last year playing. I'm just trying to absorb it all.
All right, final question, Matthew. You look at this team, some of the new faces. You got some big names that have to be replaced. But describe for our listeners what sort of baseball team you think they're going to see.
A scrappy offense that's going to put up a lot of runs, and a pitching staff that's really special. I would say, I mean, it was my hardest fall this year facing these pitchers since my freshman year. And this staff is going to be special. In the offense, you have a lot of guys that are returning starters, and then you bring in some transfer guys and some freshmen that are going to put up some numbers for us. So I'm excited for this group. I think we're special, and we're gritty. We're going to be tough outs, and you'll probably see a few long balls, and I'm excited about that too. So overall, a pretty great team is what I'm expecting.
All right, young man, nothing but the best for you all year.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Kelly, I'm going to point out something to you I'm sure you picked right up on. He said this three times during the interview, my love for the university. I'm going to give everything I have for the school. How rare is that in today's world of college athletics?
Each day that goes by, you're going to hear less and less of that because of the transfer portal. And many times these athletes that move on, and again, this is not just Southern Miss, but just the nature of college sports now. These athletes won't even know who the president of the university was, the name of the stadium or baseball field that they even played in. But he's one of those rare breeds, and really of all the sports at Southern Miss, baseball has had the least turnover of any of them. So with baseball players, they will have those memories as long as they continue to stay here. But, yeah, I meant a lot of the other athletes – in the transfer portal world will not have that allegiance.
You know, you and I talk to lots of athletes, and the one thing that always strikes me is when they talk about, when they reflect back on their time here, they talk about their friendships and being in the locker room and being with the guys and how awesome it was to play at Southern Miss. I think today's athletes who are skipping from school to school to school to school are really missing a big part of why it is special to be a collegiate athlete.
I agree, but there's a lot of those outside influences with agents now and parents and grandparents and everybody, you know, chase the dollar. Mm-hmm. The worldly view of sports and then the more day-to-day view are completely different. And you remember, without mentioning any names, there was a pitcher that Southern Miss had two mm-hmm. or 3 years ago mm-hmm. that decided to leave and go to another school. And it's like, nobody even wants to talk about that guy.
He's not in the family any longer, is he?
No, he's not. Now, he might have a little bit thicker, you know, bankroll than some of the other guys, but what is it worth to you? I can't answer that question, but your reputation and your honor to me is everything.
Yeah, I saw an article last night. I mentioned it to you, and it used your alma mater, Iowa State, as one of the two examples of this article, and the kid that was playing quarterback at Miami the other night. But it said, you know, something's wrong when a university as well established and respected as Iowa State loses a coach and consequently loses 90% of their roster. That's got to be corrected, Kelly.
Including that starting quarterback who was ready to have a big year and position himself
well,
in the NFL draft.
As an alumni of Iowa State, how crushing was that to you to hear that?
You know, Bob, I know the answer you want me to give, but honestly, you and I are about the same age, and I hate to kiss this off with just a simple answer, but nothing surprises me anymore.
No, you're right.
It's so hard to get too excited for anything.
You're right.
And to be too low about anything because we've about seen it all.
Yeah, we have. We certainly have.
It's unfortunate for sure, and it's going to take its toll on fan bases.
No question.
The popularity of college sports, particularly football and basketball, are going to suffer because of all this.
Here's what you and I can't agree on, though. Kids like Matthew Russo give you hope, and they're refreshing. And he reminds me of the kid playing quarterback the other night for Indiana.
But he started at the bottom with this team and worked his way up. He appreciates it because
4 years.
He has seen that progression. Lots of problems with athletes you have now is from the time they were 8 or 9 years old, they were always the stud. They've never seen anything but the view from the top.
Right.
And
Matthew's seen it from the bottom.
And that's when you learn to appreciate things, when you start at the bottom and work your way up.
100%. All right, still to come this week, we're going to hear from Tucker Stockman and Colby Allen. Got good interviews with all of those kids. As we head to break, Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but don't forget the most important player, that's you. Get an annual physical. Stay close to your doctor. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. We're so lucky to have them. ForestHealth.org. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, if you got something you want to do at your home this weekend, home remodeling, home repair, home construction, everything you need, you'll find it at MCS Home Center. They're located on Highway 98 West. There are local folks eager to serve you, and it is a beautiful, beautiful business. We hope that you'll do all your home repair, home remodeling, home construction shopping at MCS Home Center moving forward.
Can I give a shout out to Hank Lott? Because I have some things that need to be done. I need some stuff done at my house, but they're not big
Hank's
jobs.
Hank's not coming to do it.
No, okay. He's not. Okay. And I wouldn't expect him to. But he's so well connected that he knew a bunch of different people that could take care of what I needed done. And like within 5 minutes, I got a call back from the guy.
That's doing business with local people.
Right.
As opposed with a big box store. And no offense to their employees. They're coming in, punching a time card, and going home.
Right.
These folks live here with you.
Go to church with you. Go to school.
And Hank is a business owner in this community, so you can be sure you're going to get good customer service. Not to mention, he may be one of the two or three nicest guys on the planet. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're right. I mean, nobody else invites us to the executive lounges
absolutely
for the football game.
Absolutely nobody. For good reason. And we're grateful that Hank is so generous and has such sympathy for Kelly.
I have such respect for Hank that I actually behaved myself at his football parties.
You did?
Yeah,
I tried. I was a little shocked. Man. I thought maybe you were sick or
something. You lost that bet, didn't you, Bob?
Yeah, I thought you were ill. I was worried about you, Kelly. 4th Street Bar and Grill, Kelly doesn't behave when he's there. That's where you can catch all the NFL games this Sunday. You can catch basketball all weekend. Kelly can always eat good food at the 4th Street Bar and Grill.
Still have that $11.95 blue plate lunch, which includes your soft drink, golden tea, golf, darts. There's something there for everybody, and everybody's a Southern Miss fan. So great pregame or postgame gathering spot.
Right. Finally, I want to say thank you to Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of our show. Their sedans and SUVs are gorgeous. They're in the new exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And let me tell you, Matt Grubbs owns Genesis of Hattiesburg. He does a lot behind the scenes for Southern Miss Athletics, no question about that. All right, Kelly, what's on your mind? News and notes.
Women's basketball, we talked about the guys playing in the ATL tomorrow afternoon against Georgia State. That's going to be a tough game, Bob. Georgia State's really they're playing well right now. Yeah. Dave Cohen talked about that.
They're all tough.
That they started out with that 1-9 record, but they've won 6 out of their last 9 and 3 of them on the road. So this is going to be a tough one tomorrow night in Atlanta. The women, meanwhile, will be at home tomorrow afternoon for a rare 5 o'clock start against Marshall. Marshall, that's going to be a tough one for the Lady Eagles to hold home serve, but we think that they will. And then they're scheduled to play at 2 o'clock against Coastal Carolina at the Greenhouse. And I emphasize the word scheduled because weather forecasters all across the board are saying this could be a really treacherous weekend for travel. And normally these schools will come across the 20 and then down if they're driving. And that's where a lot of the problems are going to be, 20 and 49 north.
Correct.
So those are on the schedule right now. I don't know what, if any, hopefully they'll be able to get here safely. But that's going to be a conference decision and a school decision. And obviously, we want safety for the athletes first. The women are scheduled again tomorrow at 5 against Marshall, 2 o'clock Saturday against Coastal.
Go back to our first guest, Aubrey Gillentine. I know a good bit about the Delta. He's a bright young coach, 26 years old. That's quite an accomplishment for a young man that age. He's got a tough road in front of him to compete in this state against the Pearl River and Jones Colleges of Mississippi.
For sure, but his age actually helps him in that regard, Bob, because, you know, when we were 26 years old, we thought we were bulletproof,
right,
and there wasn't anything that we couldn't do.
Right.
And I was going to be the first guy to do that when everybody else has told me I can't do it.
Right.
So I think for Delta, that's the type of coach they need, a team and a coach that can kind of grow together and have the chip on their shoulder at the same time. And get better. And really, you've got nowhere to go but up. And when you talk about success, all right, let's just say the Trojans win 15 games this year. They might go 15-28. Well, that's pretty doggone good.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, now if Pearl River, on the other hand, were to lose 15 games,
it'd be a disaster.
It would. So it's all perspective.
Pearl River's not going to lose 15 games.
No, probably not. But I'm just saying, to put it into perspective, two teams in the same league can judge their seasons on a completely different set of rules.
Hey, real quick, 1 to 10, how good is it for Southern Miss baseball to have that pipeline connection to a program like Pearl River?
And one of them, Thomas Crabtree, you know, who came back from Tennessee, was part of that Pearl River family.
Pretty good.
So for
pretty
sure.
Pretty good cousin to have down the road, isn't it?
That is true.
All right, still to come this week, Tucker Stockton, Colby Allen. We're going to obviously report on basketball when all of that takes place. We're going to have a lot of fun the rest of the week, and we sure appreciate everybody that tunes in every day.
Next week on the program, among the scheduled guests will be Rick Maddox of the Dugout Club.
Yep, good.
We'll talk about the simple beginnings of that club and what it has grown to be and what's on the What's on the schedule for this season as far as the Dugout Club goes?
It's so important to Southern Miss baseball. You cannot overemphasize how important the Dugout Club is to Southern Miss baseball. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We apologize for the hiccups, but sometimes that happens in live broadcasting. And That's why you have an operations guy like Morgan.
Or hiccups will happen when I drink too much, too.
Or when you have those shrimp salads at work.
Oh, yeah. Those. Oof.
Not just hiccups.
They sit bad on my chest.
Not just hiccups. We'll be right back. Southerman.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.